Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Happy New Year. It's January 2018, and you're listening to episode 54 of Postmodern Realities. And I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by our resident film reviewer, Dr. John McAteer. John is an assistant professor and chair of the online liberal arts program at Ashford University. He has a BA in film from Biola University, a MA in philosophy of religion and ethics from Talbot School of Theology, and a PhD in philosophy from the University of California at Riverside. John has written a film review about The Last Jedi, which is the eighth film in the Star Wars saga, and his review is called The Last Jedi, a Star Wars movie for the era of the nuns, which is available free online at our website, equip.org. John, it's good to have you on.
Great way to kick off the new year.
Well, happy new year to you too. Well, this new film is directed by Rian Johnson, and it's also on track as of early January 2018 to make $1 billion worldwide at the box office. And this movie has been very divisive. In fact, I've seen articles trying to explain the low Rotten Tomato reviews from fans and how that compares to the stellar reviews from critics. So people are very divided about this film. So where do you come down? Did you like the film?
Oh, yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was great. Definitely better than any of the prequels. You know, if those people are listening, you know, may not be as hardcore of Star Wars fans as you and I, but, you know, there's been three different trilogies. The original Star Wars trilogy, you know, from the 70s and 80s, that was episodes 4, 5, and 6. Then there was a prequel trilogy that was episodes 1, 2, and 3. And then there's recently been this new trilogy with episodes 7 and 8. And I think this new trilogy is turning out to be a lot better than those prequels. I think it's on par with the originals. And, you know, I really loved the Last Jedi in particular. It was, from a filmmaking point of view, there was a lot more interesting stuff going on with the camera and the editing. I think the ideas, it may have been one of the first Star Wars movies to really have something to say and say it in an intelligent way. You know, George Lucas sometimes clearly had some political ideas going on with the prequels, but it seemed kind of clumsy to me. But Last Jedi, I think, did a much better job. One thing I did really appreciate about Rian Johnson, the director of the new Last Jedi, I think he was trying to, in my interpretation, trying to take the series back towards those original Star Wars movies and to undo some of the, from my point of view, goofiness of the prequel trilogy. So, for example, one of the things that I thought was kind of strange about the prequels was just how everything turned out to be about Anakin Skywalker and the Skywalker family, and you kind of lost some of the sense that you know, anybody could grow up to be a Jedi. That's the feeling I had as a kid watching the original Star Wars. It turned out, well, no, maybe you have to be born a Skywalker to do this. But I think Rian Johnson is taking us back to that everyman kind of quality, which I really liked. And there's other things too I could talk about, but yeah, I loved it.
Well, in your review, you're claiming that the Star Wars series is getting more religious, but hasn't the Force and the Jedi Order always been religious concepts in the Star Wars universe?
Well, yes and no. I think if you look back at the original 1977 Episode 4, when the Force and the Jedi were first introduced, it had a kind of a religious flavor. The Jedi were portrayed as kind of monks. You know, if you think about Obi-Wan Kenobi living by himself in the desert, a hermit or something like that. And he describes the Force in ways that sound almost like the way we would talk about as God. You know, this thing that exists everywhere, and you can touch into it, the origin of the universe and the power of everything, you know. And people do talk about the Force as, or talk about the Jedi, you know, as a religion in that original movie. They use that word religion, but it's really more of a kind of, it almost takes on the feeling to me of a kind of Eastern mysticism or kind of more like a philosophy than a religion per se. Especially when you get into Empire Strikes Back and the film starts drawing more on the kind of Buddhist element, and you get Yoda as this kind of guru who's, you know, he's teaching non-attachment and, you know, controlling your emotions and trusting your intuition and all these very kind of Buddhist ideas. So it all has sort of a religious feeling, but more like a what I think of as a philosophy, kind of a New Age kind of philosophy. And then the prequels, as I said, kind of took us away from that. The Jedi became really more like a political order. They were kind of the police force of the Republic. And there wasn't a lot of religious dimension. When they had meetings, you know, it was kind of committee meetings. It looked like, you know, just any kind of government or business kind of thing, but not a lot of religious dimension. And that's one of the things I think when I say Rian Johnson is taking us back to the original Star Wars, he's moving us back into the direction of religion, and even further, I think, than the original trilogy, in that he, you know, he's bringing up ideas of temples, and this is not just Rian Johnson, this is in The Force Awakens as well, ideas that the Jedi have temples, the Jedi have their other people who follow the ways of the Force other than the Jedi, so people that help the Jedi and work in the temples and work in their monasteries and things like that. And you even get the sense that there is that, the, you know, the Sith, who are the evil Jedi, you know, the dark side users, the Sith start to sound like maybe it's another religion that worships the Jedi, or maybe another denomination of Jediism that not that worships the Jedi, but that worships the Force. And there's this hint that maybe there's even other people out there who understand the Force and follow the ways of the Force, even though they're not Jedi or Sith. And this is something that comes up in some of the parts of Star Wars lore that are not in the film. So there's all these books and comic books and video games and things that go under the umbrella called the Expanded Universe. In that dimension, there has always been a religious portrayal of the Jedi and the Force, but that's been coming more to the front in the films, I think. And so it's really the most interesting thing to me is in this film is how the Jedi, you know, Luke talks about the Jedi Order as flawed, as not being necessarily always right about things. And so that really kind of causes us to question some of the things, or at least it opens the door to questioning some of the things that the Jedi have told us. We shouldn't necessarily believe everything they say about the Force. We recognize, Luke says, you know, when the Jedi are gone, the Force will still be here. So the Force is this kind of reality that's out there that there could be any number of different religions and different ways of understanding and relating to the Force. So it really kind of opens up things in a new way, which then, you know, relativizes the Jedi into being more like a religion than like a kind of science or something where there's just sort of one way of understanding this and that's it. So, I think it is moving in a new direction that maybe the seeds have always been there, but it hasn't been emphasized in the same way.
I also want to tell our listeners as we have this conversation that this will be a spoiler-filled conversation. So if you haven't seen The Last Jedi and you'd like to, you might want to turn this off and come back to it after you've seen the film. You mentioned the extended universe, but it's interesting to see if Rian Johnson or other directors will bring certain themes in from it because it's not considered canon anymore by the Disney Corporation, who now owns the rights to Star Wars. But you claim, obviously, in your title, that The Last Jedi reflects the attitude of the nuns. So those are like millennial-aged people who are spiritual but not religious. And so how do you think this film is something that is a film for the nuns?
Yeah, so we're talking about nuns, N-O-N-E-S, not N-U-N-S. So the nuns are people who, when you ask them what their religion is, and you give them, you know, say, are you Christian? Are you, you know, Buddhist? Are you Hindu? Are you Muslim? Are you atheist? And they say none of the above. And so they're not religious, but they're not necessarily atheists either. The percentage of Americans who believe in God is basically the same as it always has been, but the percentage of Americans who are religious is declining. So there's this new demographic of people, especially young people, as you say, millennials, who are more likely to be spiritual but not religious. They tend to be liberal or you know, interested in social justice and tolerance, especially around issues of sexuality and you know, transgender issues and that kind of thing. And they're also kind of you know, anti-institutional in the sense that they're very against kind of dogma and strict beliefs, at least regarding religion. You know, they do have strict beliefs in politics and ethics, like I said. They could be just as dogmatic as anybody when it comes to political issues. But in terms of religion, they tend to think, you know, we should let everybody decide for themselves what to believe. They tend to mix and match really different spiritual ideas and practices. And so they, to me, what's really the kind of the primary motive behind this is this feeling of the not needing any kind of institution or authority to tell you or guide you even on what you should believe. And it comes from a sense that all kind of religious institutions are hypocritical and that kind of thing. So the nuns are people who only believe in their own personal authority. And so you can see this a little bit, I think, in the film, this attitude. And I want to say this is not something that I believe that Rian Johnson or any of the other filmmakers are intentionally putting into the films. It's more just kind of a background worldview of current American culture that has kind of seeped in without anybody necessarily being conscious of it. So you can see, you know, when Luke criticizes the Jedi as, you know, being incompetent in the resistance of the Sith back in the prequel era, when you have Yoda saying things like, you know, he's criticizing Luke for being dogmatically you know, adherent to these ancient Jedi doctrines and Jedi books that Luke has gathered up. He says, you know, you need this living relationship with the Force, not a pile of old books. Yoda says, Rey, the heroine, has everything she needs within her, right? There's this whole kind of set of ideas floating around in the movie that to me point towards this direction of kind of do-it-yourself religion, where you can kind of decide for yourself what your path is going to be, as opposed to the, if you think back to the original way that the Jedi were portrayed all the way back in the original Star Wars and in Empire Strikes Back, you had the sense that there had to be, Jedi had to be an apprentice to a more advanced Jedi. You had to learn from someone else these traditions that were handed down. Submit to their authority. So a lot of the prequels even were about, you know, Anakin learning how to submit to the authority of his master and that kind of thing, which seems to have dropped out of the new film. You know, Rey goes to train with Luke, but doesn't seem to actually learn anything from him and seems to have all of these abilities that she's just sort of figured out on her own. So it does seem to have that kind of anti-institutional dimension to it that I think points towards the way that people in our culture, especially those spiritual but not religious people, think about spirituality.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is John McAteer. John has written a film review about the Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi, which is the eighth film in the Star Wars saga. And his review is called The Last Jedi, a Star Wars movie for the era of the nuns, which is available free online at our website, equip.org. To read more cultural apologetics articles, like our upcoming feature on Hulu's TV series, The Handmaid's Tale, a viewpoint on Disney princesses, and an article on the worldview of the actor Morgan Freeman, please subscribe to the journal. For the month of January 2018, we have a special subscription rate of $25, and normally a six-issue subscription is $39.50. So to subscribe at this special $25 rate online, visit equip.org. You were talking about just the idea of anti-institutionalism. But I know that you also think that this particular film has a political dimension too, as well. Is that correct?
Yeah. So there is this kind of, as I mentioned with the nuns, they tend to be very politically active. Social justice is very important. That's one of the reasons that a lot of the young people have turned away from Christianity. They see Christianity as having sort of the wrong kind of politics. Like I said, they tend to be more liberal. And so they, in a way, they've replaced religion with politics in this. For them, tolerance and inclusivism, diversity, these are the most important qualities of any set of ideas. And so, I think this is, it's in some ways paradoxical, when I talk about the nuns being very much about do-it-yourself religion, they're also, they're not necessarily individualists in general. They do believe in community and cooperation and the values of, working with other people. So there is this kind of tension maybe in this this way of thinking. But one of the most important kind of political aspects of the film that you see is this whole kind of long section in the middle where the side characters of Finn, the ex-stormtrooper, and this maintenance worker, Rose, who end up going on this mission to this Canto Bright, which is a kind of casino world or something, almost like Las Vegas or something like that. And they go to this world and have this side adventure, which doesn't necessarily influence the plot a whole lot in the film, but is very thematically important. It's all about learning to see how your actions, in the resistance fighting against the First Order and the Empire and all this fits into a bigger picture, so that it's not just about, individual heroes doing heroic things, blowing up Death Stars and whatnot, but it's about a larger system. So Finn and Rose kind of realize that, to make a long story short, there's this whole class of wealthy people in the galaxy that we've never really seen before in any other Star Wars film, who are not part of the war, the Star Wars that's going on. They're not rebels or resistance, and they're not Empire or First Order. They're just wealthy elites of this universe, and they tend to play both sides of the war. They sell weapons to both sides. And so you get this sense that the battle between the light and the light side of the Force and the dark side of the Force that Star Wars has always been about is an eternal battle where no side can win. And that's not only because of kind of Taoist spiritual New Age ideas of, the yin and the yang, but it's also because of economics, because the light side and the dark side are reliant on this single economic system where one can't exist without the other, and where the wealthy benefit from both sides. And so it ends up in a way becoming a lot of the spiritual dimensions of the original Star Wars are turn out to be this kind of material, have this material economic basis that I think is kind of interesting. And goes back again to this idea of the nuns and kind of thinking that this institutions, including economic institutions, political institutions, are corrupt, and that we have to get outside of these institutions and try to just care about each other as human beings instead of as part of this larger system.
So with all of these various changes in just kind of some of the emphasis within this film, do you think that the worldview of Star Wars itself is changing, and how would you compare it to Christianity?
So I think in a lot of ways, the worldview of Star Wars is basically the same. It has the same kind of New Age elements, hints of kind of Taoism with the light and the dark being equal sides of this of the Force. You get the similar ability to manipulate nature, this kind of occult aspect. And this film even adds some new sort of occult powers we haven't seen before, where Luke basically performs something like astral projection, which is, a real life thing that people use. Although I think this film, it's not especially realistically explored in this film. I don't tend to worry too much about, my kids trying to do whatever Luke did in this film. They're much more likely to hit each other with sticks, pretending it's a lightsaber. To me, what's interesting, what is shifting in the worldview of Star Wars is this idea about heroism that I've already mentioned a little bit. This film, The Last Jedi, is very interested in the idea of what a hero is. And so you have this character, Poe, who's the kind of hotshot fighter pilot, who's a lot like, he's almost like a synthesis of Luke and Han Solo from the original film. I mean, he's got that kind of cocky attitude. He's the greatest pilot, able to blow up Death Stars and things like Luke was. This film kind of deconstructs that image of what a hero is, and that a hero is not just somebody who is kind of macho and a loner and this individualist who's good at fighting, but it's somebody who the heroes in this film are those who kind of work quietly and consistently in cooperation with others, people like Finn and Rose. And they're people who don't reject their emotions and their personal feelings of attachment. In the original films, Luke was taught by Yoda to, control his emotions and to kind of reject that side of himself. If you go back to the prequels, what essentially made Anakin turn to the dark side was that, according to the films, he loved his mother too much, that he couldn't let go of her. And Yoda is always telling him, you have to, let go of your mother. Don't dwell on losing her. You're too attached to this. When his mother is killed, he gets really angry. He has this kind of feeling of revenge, which obviously is wrong. We don't want to encourage hatred and revenge. But the film seems to suggest that the problem is not that he dwelled on revenge and wasn't able to forgive his enemies, as Christianity would teach. The film seems to say the problem was that he was too attached to his mother, which is a strange thing to teach. So, and I think the same thing happens in Empire Strikes Back, where Luke is training and Darth Vader uses his friend's suffering. He captures Han and Leia and kind of causes them pain to lure Luke away from his Jedi training and tempt him towards the dark side. And I guess you're supposed to think that, Luke would have been better off if he had just stayed with Yoda and not gone to rescue his friends, which is, again, a sort of strange way to think about things. But the new films makes very clear that you know, friendship is not a hindrance to a hero. Heroes are not loners. Heroes are people who work together. I mean, it's no wonder Luke is so kind of screwed up in The Last Jedi. He's living on this island and disturbed because he was always taught never to have friends, or that will hurt you. And so I think the new film is really a lot more about, as Rose puts it at one point, you know, we have to, we can't just fight against what we hate. We have to fight for what we love. And it's clear that that love that she's talking about is one-on-one individual human connection to other people. It's not just, you know, this ability to win battles, but it's having, you know, real relationships. And I think that's a lot more of a Christian idea. It's less moving away from Buddhism, non-attachment, more to Christianity. So I do think there's that shift.
This film has been characterized as kind of Luke's film to just round out his whole life within the saga, the sweeping saga of the first 9 films. And in this review, you describe Luke Skywalker as a fundamentalist. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, that was maybe a little bit of a provocative way of putting it. But I mean, one thing maybe to understand what I mean by this, I mean, go back to the scene where Yoda and Luke are talking about the ancient Jedi texts. And, you know, I pointed out, you know, Yoda says you have to have a living relationship with the Force, not just, you know, blindly following a bunch of old books. And some fans, you know, pointed out to me whenever I start talking about this, they're like, well, what about, you know, Yoda actually takes the books, or somebody, maybe Rey, somebody takes the books out of the tree and puts them into the Millennium Falcon so that the books are not destroyed. Yoda calls down lightning somehow and burns up the tree. And Luke thinks the books are destroyed, but they're not really. And Yoda knows this. And that's why Yoda says Rey has everything she needs within herself. So it seems like maybe it's not really anti-institutional. But if you think about what's really going on in that scene, why does Yoda burn down the tree? I think what he's doing, he's trying to help Luke not be so dogmatic about the Jedi teaching, right? So Luke thinks we have to have these books because that's where all of the wisdom of the Jedi is. And you know, when I'm gone, there will be no Jedi left, and it's going to be here. In some ways, you know, you can see Rian Johnson maybe teasing the fans a little bit about, you know, a lot of people who tend to quote chapter and verse out of old Star Wars novels and comic books and think this is the only way Star Wars can be. And Rian Johnson is saying, well, no, I'm going to take this series into a new direction. So there's that going on. But it's also about Luke learning to realize that he's got to be flexible. He's got to learn how to think differently about things and not just kind of be purely you know, dogmatic to the way that the tradition has always done things. So in a way you could think this is just kind of a general Protestant idea, right? So Protestants believe tradition is good and helpful, and we believe in tradition, but is also it's not infallible, and we have to allow our personal living relationship with God to come before doing things exactly the way that they've always been done, because the church itself can sometimes get off track and needs to be reformed. And so one of the maybe, so that's a good element, maybe a problematic element of this is when we think about the, again, combining this with the spiritual but not religious idea of the nuns. Yes, Rey takes those books, but I don't get the sense that she's going to be a Protestant about books. She's not a sola scriptura kind of person. It's more like what I was describing, the do-it-yourself approach. You know, Rey's going to be able to read the books and mix and match and picks the best parts that speak to her. And at least, I mean, this is, I guess, a speculation about what we're going to see in the next film. But in general, when I think of Luke as a fundamentalist, it's this feeling of fear, really. If you think to me, the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is fear, because fear, faith is the quality of having trust in God. And so when you trust in God, you don't fear anything that anything else can happen to you, because you know that God is in control. God is going to take care of you. And when you get afraid, you do crazy things. You try to take control of your own life and make things work out how you think they ought to work out, rather than trusting God. And so there's this, what we learn has really pushed Luke into his exile is when he attempted to kill Ben Solo, who turned out to be Kylo Ren. He didn't literally try to kill him, but he had the thought, like, I'm going to kill Ben Solo, because he sensed Ben's pull to the dark side. He thought, there's this dark power within Ben, I need to kill it. And the idea being, he was so afraid of the dark side that he was willing to do something evil in to destroy the dark side, right? And that is, I think, a good image of what fundamentalism is about. You're so afraid of your enemies that you're willing to do something evil to further what you believe is the right side. But what Luke ended up doing, right, by giving into his fear, that's actually the first step toward the dark side. And Luke ended up himself serving the dark side, and through his threatening of Kylo Ren, and that pushed Kylo Ren into becoming dark himself. So I think if instead of fearing what he hated, he could have loved, fought for what he loved in Kylo, just like he did with Darth Vader back in Return of the Jedi, you know, by fighting for the good that was in his enemy rather than destroying anything with a hint of darkness. The results would have been pretty different.
Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for John. So, John, which of the eight main, so far, eight of the nine Star Wars saga films is your favorite?
I think my favorite is the original episode 4.
And what do you prefer, dark side or light side characters?
It's got to be light side. There's, to me, Kylo Ren's the only kind of interesting dark side character, and but he's not going to beat Rey or Luke or Leia or any of those people.
And where did you see your first Star Wars movie, and how old were you?
I don't know. I would have seen the first one on video at home, but I don't know exactly how old I was. The first one I saw in the theater, I think, was Return of the Jedi. And I would have been probably 8 years old or so by then.
Well, thanks, John, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
All right. My pleasure.
Today's guest is John McAteer. John has written a film review about The Last Jedi, which is the eighth film in the Star Wars saga, and his review is called The Last Jedi, a Star Wars movie for the era of the nuns, which is available free online at the CRI website, equip.org. To read more cultural apologetics articles, please subscribe to the journal. For the month of January 2018, we have a special subscription rate of $25, and normally a 6-issue subscription is $39.50. To subscribe online, go to quip.org. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And Hank is also streaming live each week on Facebook and YouTube. So check equip.org for dates and times. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man page on Facebook, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. Follow the Bible Answer Man on Instagram, and please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes And we'd appreciate it if you would rate and review our podcast. Please share this episode on your social media accounts. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged, which is Hank's new audio podcast, where you will follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. And so, until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast.